Blessed be your name, mighty God. Does anybody here in the house believe that song that they're singing? My God is more than enough. Come on, somebody say, He will supply all my needs. Somebody say, He'll supply. Somebody came in the house worried about that today. But you need to say, He will supply all my needs. Is there anybody in the house that's ever been there? But when you looked, God had made the provision and God made the difference. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, My God. Turn to your neighbor and say, My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Come on, say it again. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you and God, you're a majority. You and God, you're all that you need. You got all the resources that you need. You got all, come on, don't look at the natural. You got all the strength that you need. You got the healing that you need. My God, you got everything that you need this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hermano Martin. Hace lluvia fuera hoy, pero hace lluvia en el Espíritu Santo en la casa de Dios. Huh? How's that? Is that right? Did that work? How would you say that? Yeah, hace lluvia en el Espíritu Santo. Yeah. I thought that's what I said, but you never know. I said it's raining outside. Hace lluvia fuera. But it's raining in the house. Hace lluvia en la casa de Dios. En el Espíritu Santo. Come on, just take your umbrella down. I'm telling you, it's raining in this house. You need one outside, but you don't need one inside. What's umbrella? Parasol? Paraguas?
Yeah, paraguas.
Paraguas. Usted no necesita paraguas en la casa. Es necesario fuera.
Afuera.
But you want to take down your umbrella here. You want to throw your umbrella away in here. You want it to rain down on your spirit in this house. My God, come on. Lift up your soul today. Lift up your soul and say, fill my cup, oh God. Fill my cup, oh God. Rain down on my life, mighty God. Praise God. We're going to read this morning in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're continuing in our study of the Old Testament, making our way through. And we are at the juncture of the meeting and the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. Greatest prophets in the Old Testament area, and then John the Baptist, Jesus said, was the greatest of prophets, but Elijah is like the penultimate prophet throughout the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It's pretty amazing. I mean, do you think so? That's pretty amazing. Praise God. Elisha saw it. He cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And we'll talk about that tonight. But it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that he and Elisha just went down from Gilgal. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him thanks for his word this morning, forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for your word, forever engrafted, forever set in the heavens, oh God. We thank you for your word that changes lives and destinies. We thank you, mighty God, for your word that is a foundation to build our homes and our lives upon. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Now, it seems an understatement of incredible proportion this morning when the word of God said it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. As if that were an everyday occurrence. As if that were something people were just accustomed to. Well, there goes another one. Well, there's one over there. But this is something that's only happened once before that we know of. The man Enoch was taken up because the Lord took him. And we don't know if it was a chariot ride or the same scenario here, but there's only two in the Old Testament that we read about that were snatched up out of this world and into that arena of the Spirit where God and the dimension where the angels dwell. But it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah knows where he's going, and he knows what's going to happen. And Elisha knows where they're going, and Elisha knows what's going to happen. And it's widely known. When they get to Bethel, the sons of the prophets are there at Bethel, and the sons of the prophets tell Elisha, "Don't you know that your master's going to be taken up away from you today?" The sons of the prophets at Bethel knew that Elijah was going to be taken up. When they get to Jericho, the sons of the prophets at Jericho, they know that Elijah is going to be taken up because they tell Elisha, "Don't you know that your master is going to be taken up from you today?" And when they get down to Jordan, where it's about to happen, 50 of the sons of the prophets stand off at a distance to watch because they know that it's about to happen. And they might not have seen it before, and they might not understand it all, but in their spirits they perceive, and by the spirit of prophecy, they know that today is D-Day, and that Elijah is leaving today. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Elijah is there by the river. He has, by his mantle and by the power of God, separated the waters of Jordan, walking across on dry land as their ancestors had done so many hundreds of years before. And he stands on the western side of Jordan. And while he's there, there comes this rushing, mighty wind. It's a whirlwind, if you would, but it's still a rushing, mighty wind, which is indicative of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is likened to wind all through the scripture. In the New Testament, the word for spirit and wind and breath is the same word. It's the word pneuma. And so this powerful wind begins to churn, and in the midst of that wind, there's a chariot that's on fire, but it's not consumed, and there's horses that come down, and I don't understand how the heavens work, and I don't know how God's community or God's neighborhood really looks, and neither do you. But this is a little glimpse of God's neighborhood, of God's physical or spiritual apparatus there in that place where he lives, and it breaks through into this natural dimension, and the man Elijah gets sucked up in the vortex of that whirlwind, and there he goes. And he takes off his mantle as he's leaving, and he drops it down. Now that mantle's going to go to Elisha, but for Elijah's sake, he has been a prophet but he's not going to be a prophet anymore. He has been the servant of God during that time frame, but the thing that defined him, his mantle, he takes it off and he drops it, because as he steps on air and begins to make his way into heaven, he's still going to be Elijah, but he's going to be a whole new man in a whole new world with a whole new job description and a new definition. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now this is if you'll pardon me, this is a wild story. This is an amazing story. Not something that happens every day. And it's not the end of our friend Elijah. We see him again. We see him in Matthew chapter 7 and Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9 on what the Word of God calls is the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus leads his disciples up the mountain's face, and he takes the select three, James and John and Peter, and they go up into the presence of God, and they go to the higher place on the face of the mountain with Jesus. And while he's there and while he's praying, he begins to glow. The glory of God, the Shekinah of God, begins to break out. You see, Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was all of God in a physical body. Jesus was God, and that flesh was the temple. Well, praise the Lord. And he had it hidden in there, but he just kind of opened up the portals a little bit. And on that mountain, he began to burst out and break forth and became the Shekinah of God on that mountain. And his disciples saw it, and every one of the gospel writers talk about it. But in that presence, while he's being transfigured, there are two that appear with him there. One Moses and the other Elijah. And Luke tells us that they came back to talk about the crucifixion that was about to happen not many days later in Jerusalem. And so here's Isaiah again. This is perhaps 700 years after Elijah's gone up in the whirlwind. 700 years. Where have you been, Elijah? What have you been doing, Elijah? But you see, you want to know and you want to understand that he is still Elijah. And he has cognition because he's talking with Jesus about the crucifixion. He knows what's happening in heaven and he knows what's happening on the earth. He still has his identity. That's Elijah. The Word of God said it was Elijah, not another by his name, not another after his fashion, but it was the very man Elijah. He never laid his body down in death, but his body, spirit, and soul were taken up into the presence of God. And now he's come back serving God in a different capacity. I don't know, a consultant, an advisor. They're talking about the crucifixion, Moses and Elijah. And they are the types of the two kinds of experience that you will have in this earth if you live for God. The one is Moses, and Moses died and was buried. His body is unto this day still in the earth. But Moses went up by spirit into the presence of God, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses was there in spirit. The man Elijah went up in his body, and he came down, I think, in his body. And so they're standing there, a type of those who die and are resurrected in Christ, and a type of those who are caught away. Never dying, but being caught up with Christ, still maintaining their identity and maintaining their understanding, not in deep freeze, not asleep somewhere, not hidden away without knowledge, but still working in the kingdom of God. I want to suggest to you today that Elijah is a type of the rapture. Elijah's catching away is a type of something that's about to happen on this earth, not many days from where we're standing right now. Elijah caught up alive into the presence of God is a type of the coming of the Lord, the sounding of the trump, and the catching up of the people of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. I do believe that Elijah is going to come back again. According to the word of God. Did you get my note? Malachi chapter 4 and in verse 5. And the word of God is very plain in prophecy. In Malachi 4 and verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Elijah's coming back again. In Revelation chapter 11, there are two witnesses that come and tread the streets of Jerusalem. And they are men and they are prophets. And they come full grown, and they come calling fire out of the heavens, and they come with signs and wonders, and they stand in front of the Antichrist, and they defy the system of evil in this world, and they preach the gospel in that street until it's time, and when it's time, God allows the Antichrist to overwhelm them, and they die, and they lie in the street for 3.5 days. But if you're alive with the word of God in your hand, you're going to be able to be a scholar at the job or at school, because the Bible says all nations are going to see them lying in the street, and nations are going to celebrate by giving gifts to one another, because these old prophets are dead that tormented everybody. You know, the world's going to be wicked, and those prophets are going to be talking about righteousness. The Antichrist is going to be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, but those prophets are going to be talking about the real Christ. Those prophets are going to be speaking forth the word of God, and the world's going to hate them but not know what to do about them. And when they're dead, everybody's going to celebrate. But the word of God says after 3.5 days, the spirit of life comes back into their bodies, and they stand upon their feet, and they don't say hey or bye. They just ascend into the heavens. This is a strange story. It's a strange story. I believe, in my humble opinion, now you do what you want, I believe that one of them is Enoch and the other is Elijah. The word of God said, is it appointed unto man once to die? And then the judgment. Moses already died once. That cancels him out. I think we're looking at Moses and Elijah there. Or Enoch and Elijah. Elijah, still Elijah, still alive, still vibrant. Now it's been 2,700 years. Almost 3,000 years. But when you're standing, when God catches you away, you're standing in a place now where age doesn't matter and time doesn't exist and the elements don't wear down and the parts don't wear out. And 2,700 years later, he's ready to step back out as he had stood before Ahab before. Now he stands before an end time world and he says, thus saith the word of the living God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm come to tell you today, God's about to take a people out of the earth. God's about to take some people out of this world. And he's going to take them to a place where they don't sleep, nor do they slumber. Where heat is not a problem, and cold is not a problem, and age is not a problem. And there's no more sickness, and there's no more death, and there's no more saying goodbye. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I know this is a strange story. This is a really bizarre story this morning. But the word of God is full of references to this event. We call it the rapture. The scripture calls it the first resurrection, or the coming of the Lord, or that great and terrible day of the Lord. Elijah typified it. Enoch talked about it. In Jude, I think verse 14, the word of God tells us that Enoch preached. He was a preacher of righteousness, and that he preached the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. Back before the flood, Enoch said, the Lord's coming. Back before the flood, Enoch said, God is coming. I believe that's why God chose him to put him down at the end time. And his same old message is the same true message. The Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. I want to tell you here, no matter where you are in life, what you're doing, how successful or unsuccessful, how happy or unhappy, you need to wake up and this morning realize the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. Somebody say praise the Lord. Enoch preached about it, and Enoch typified it. When Enoch was caught away, the Bible said he was not, for the Lord took him. And the 11th chapter of Hebrews declares that he didn't die because God took him away, and he was not. And so Enoch talked about it, and Enoch typified it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29, Jesus talks about the coming of the Lord and the catching away of his people. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 29, for unto everyone, nope, I'm in the wrong chapter. I should read the board behind me. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. Have the stars fallen from heaven yet? No. This is something that's going to happen. The Bible said the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll, but it hasn't happened yet. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I want to tell you today, it doesn't matter what the parliaments do. It doesn't matter what the Senate does. It doesn't matter what the UN says. It doesn't matter what the Antichrist says. There's coming a day. The Son of Man is coming. He's going to appear in the clouds of glory. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Everybody say great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Everybody say a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the others. Praise the Lord. Now you got to hear this and understand, Jesus is talking about not one man, Enoch, that he's going to catch away, or one man, Elijah, that he's going to catch away. But he said there's going to come, they were just a type. They were just a shadow. They were just a preview. God always gives you a foreshadowing for what he's going to do. God always gives you a type and a shadow for what he's going to do. But now it's going to be all of God's people, from one end of the earth to the other, the dead ones and the ones that are alive. And they're going to rise up from their graves, and they're going to rise up off the earth, and they're going to move into that dimension where Elijah has been for 2,700 years. Praise, somebody say praise the Lord. Same chapter, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He said this is something that's not in the purview of the Messiah or the manifested Christ. It's not something that I'm going to tell you about. Only that knowledge is resident in the Spirit, which is how Jesus categorize the Spirit. He says, my Father. But as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, one taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. I want you to know, if everybody would have known and they would have been prepared, they'd have all been on the ark in the day of Noah. But when the rain began to fall, then they knew, but then it was too late. I want you to hear it today. There's coming a day when God's going to split that eastern sky, and a trumpet's going to sound, and God's going to raise up his people, the dead ones and the live ones, and he's going to gather them to himself, and then the whole world will know, but then it will be too late. Somebody say praise the Lord. He said it's going to be a surgical strike. Two will be, Brother Patrick, stand up by Julia, said. Two will be standing in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. It won't be any good just being up here in church. It won't be any good just be crowding up here in the house. It won't do you any good just physically being here. But he knows those that belong to him. He sees the righteous heart. He knows where his name is and the power of his covenant. My God, push your neighbor and say, I'm gonna be the one. You can, come on, say, you can stay here if you want to, but I'm gonna be the one. My God, he said, watch therefore. You don't know when he's coming. That means you got to be ready today. That means I got to be ready today. That means I got to be ready right now. Watch therefore. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Jesus talked about the rapture. Jesus typified it. He stood on the Mount of Olives and ascended into heaven. And as he did in so many other areas, he was teaching his disciples. He showed them, now watch, boys. I'm going to lay this thing down in the grave. I'm going to raise it up again. And then watch, fellas. I'm going to ascend it into the heavens. They didn't get it because they were still standing there. And the angel said, what are you doing standing here, gazing up into the heavens? That same Jesus that you've seen leave, he shall return in like manner. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus typified the rapture. He said, this is how it's going to be. You're going to rise right up off the earth. He said, I've shown you with Enoch. I've shown you with Elijah. Now I'm showing you with myself. This is how it's going to be. Mankind was not meant to dwell on this earth. Mankind was not meant to dwell in this oppressive spiritual environment. Mankind was not meant to be limited by these. This was just a school to get you ready for being a dweller in heaven. This was just a rite of passage, a place that you pass through to be getting ready to live with God forever. This is just elementary. This is just secondary. This is just your educational process. There's a whole eternity out there. Somebody's going to live with him forever. Praise the Lord. Jesus taught about the rapture. He talked about the virgins, 10 of them, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And the 5 wise had plenty of oil, and the 5 foolish ran out of oil. And when they did, the cry came forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And those that had oil ran out to meet him. Oil is typical of the Holy Ghost. You better keep that vessel full. You better keep that vessel full. You better, if you don't have the Holy Ghost today, you better get the Holy Ghost. And if you're run down low on the Holy Ghost, you better fill up today. You may run out of gas in your car, but you better fill up with the Holy Ghost. You may run out of money in your bank account, but you better fill up with the Holy Ghost. You may run out of something to eat, but you better be full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. They received it in Acts chapter 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. Praise God. You don't get this 20 years ago and say, well, I got it back 20 years ago, bless God, and I know that I'm all right. That's a denominal mentality that says you just sign the card, you get it in your pocket, and you go on with life. And there's a disconnect between God and life. But there is no disconnect between God and life. You need the Holy Ghost today. You need it Monday. You need it Thursday. You need it when you're well. You need it when you're sick. You need the Holy Ghost. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost. It is the resurrection power. I want you to know it was the Spirit that lifted Enoch up off the earth. It was the Spirit that lifted Elijah off the earth. It was the Spirit that generated the power that took the Christ into the heavens. And it'll be the Spirit of the living God that raises you up out of the dead or catches you away as you stand upon your feet. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Is anybody excited about going to be with Jesus? Have you decided to just make this world your home? Do you really want to stay here? Is this the kind of place you want to live forever? Do you really want to be here and stay here? No. My God. Paul talked about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with which body do they come? He said, you're a fool. I don't know about the resurrection. Paul said, you're a fool. I don't know about God. Paul said, you're a fool. I'm not saying this. Paul said it. Don't you love it when you get involved with people and you get them the word of God fresh and hot, and they read it for themselves, and then they say, you are saying that I'm lost. We're not saying anything, Bubba. The word of God is saying it. You got a problem? Take it up with the author. Paul's saying, if you're a whiner and your intellect is getting in the way and your natural mind is building a roadblock for you and your position in the kingdom of God, that you're a fool. And that's going to become dreadfully evident as things progress. But he said, there is a question. He said, how are men raised up and with what body do they come? He said, you're a fool. Don't you see what's around you every day? He said, that which thou sowest is not made alive or quickened, except it die. He said, in every seed you plant, in every seed you see, in every sapling you witness, everything around you in the natural world speaks this principle to you. Don't you know the seed has to die? You and your body, what you're wearing on the outside is just a husk. It was made to bury. It was made to die so that new thing could spring up out of that old seed. How many of you ever planted anything and watched it happen? Have you ever seen the seed break open and the new stalk coming out of the seed there? Some of them just laying out on the top of the ground and they're having that same manifestation. He said, and that you sow, that you plant, you don't plant that body that shall be, but you plant bare grain or bare seed. And it may turn out to be wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as it pleases him, to every seed his own body. Turn to your neighbor and say, your body's just a husk that you're going to take off. Just like Elijah took his mantle off. Come on, tell him. Just like Elijah took his mantle off, you're going to take off that body. And you're going to have another body. Not like this one. This one wears out, but that one's going to last forever. This one breaks down, but that one's going to last forever. My God. Praise the Lord. Paul goes on in verse 42. So is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. Aren't you tired of that old corruptible flesh that keeps rising up and getting in the way? Paul said, the things that I would do, those are the things I don't do. And those things that I wouldn't do, that's what I do. Any amens in the house? Is there anybody that struggles with that old flesh? Is there anybody that struggles with that mouth or that mind? Paul said, you're going to lay that thing down in corruption, but God's going to raise it up, and it's going to be, you're going to be what you've been trying to be. You're going to be what God's called you to be. Praise God. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. My God, the thing you've been wanting to accomplish, you're going to accomplish. Just keep on. By faith, just keep on. By persistence, just keep on. The thing that God's called you to, you're going to be that when He raises you up. Praise God. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And after, that which is spiritual. First, you got to walk through this natural passage. First, you got to wear this natural body. And then you get that spiritual, that eternal body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. If you ever wanted a verse that tells you that Jesus was God, He is the second man and He is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, those that are earthy. As is the heavenly, those that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we'll bear the image of the heavenly. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. Somebody say a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Paul talked about the resurrection, the first resurrection, which is called the rapture in many circles. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul talks about the rapture. You all right? You doing okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Everybody say, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be ignorant. Concerning them which are asleep. Now, when Paul says asleep, he's talking about the elders, the patriarchs, the church folks that he's known that have laid down and they're in death right now, but he doesn't consider it to be death. He talks about it in terms of a temporary state. He says they're asleep. He said, those that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. When I know that you go down to the graveyard, it breaks your heart. And it's sad to say goodbye if somebody's leaving for a week or two, much less a few years or whatever. But he said, we don't sorrow like the world sorrows because they don't have any hope. Because we know that when we lay that body in the ground, it's just a seed and something's going to come up there. If they're born again, if they're Jesus' name, if they're Holy Ghost, if they've lived it right, God's going to raise them up and no grave going to hold them down. Death can't hold them down. No matter how big a stone you put on it, it won't hold them down. That trump will sound and they'll come breaking up out of that earth. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, everybody that believes that Jesus died and rose again, raise your hand. Come on. Everybody that believes that Jesus died and rose again, you stand on your feet and say, I believe it. Come on, it's my faith. I believe it. Jesus is alive. Come on, you need to say it for yourself. You need to say it for the devil. You need to say it for those around you. I believe, come on, Jesus is alive. He broke out of that tomb. He came alive again on the third day. If we believe that he died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's going to happen for every apostolic that's in the grave, every apostolic in the tomb, everyone that you've laid to rest. They're going to come up out of that grave. Praise God. Praise God. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Oh, I see. I gave you hope. You thought it was done. By the word of the Lord that we, everybody say, we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. My God, Paul talks about it. Clap your hands unto him. Listen, our hope is not that he'll pay the bills down here. Our hope is not that he'll build you a house down here. Our hope is not that he'll fill out your wish list down here. But our hope is that we're going to live forever with him. My God, if you're alive, you're going to be caught up. If you're dead, you're going to be raised up. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. The word of God is replete with this business of the rapture. John talks about it in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14 is a figurative or a symbolic view. He likens it to a man sitting on a cloud and harvesting the earth with a sharp sickle. Chapter 14 of Revelation, and beginning in verse 14. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man. That's what John, who is the author of this book, that's what he called Jesus. He said, I saw somebody look like Jesus sitting on a cloud, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, and the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. The remainder of this chapter is about another harvest that is cast at the gates of Jerusalem and trodden underfoot, and the blood runs to the horse's bridle. It is a picture of the battle of Armageddon. Now, I do believe that the church is going to be here right down until the time of the battle of Armageddon. And you can believe what you want to believe on that, and I'll believe what I want to believe on it, and we'll just see when we get over there, when we get out of here, where that on the timeline actually took place. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And, you know, just talking about when the rapture is, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that it was at the last trump. Everybody say the last trump. When we talked about those two witnesses, Enoch and Elijah, they are in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. And after they are resurrected from the dead, the Bible says the seventh trump sounded, or the last trump sounded. Can you say praise the Lord? After that trump sounds, the voice proclaims, it's time now that the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And the time has come to reward the saints and the prophets. And so it is the time of the rewarding of God's people after the seventh trump. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to look at that for just one second. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul goes on to tell us about the timing or the time frame of the coming of the Lord. And he deems that the coming of the Lord and the catching away of his people are on the same day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you there, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. And would you say, for that day shall not come. You see, he's talking about two things, the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. And he says, that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You're not going to get out of here until the Antichrist is revealed. You're not going to get out of here until there's this tremendous, horrendous falling away. Let me tell you what's about to happen. All of these pseudo-Christians are going to fall away. All of these quasi-Christians are going to fall away. And the only thing going to be left standing are dead sure, radical, fanatic people that are militant about the things of God, that won't be moved, that won't be shaken, that won't be shoved aside. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And Paul said that the Antichrist system is going to be made manifest. Now let me give you a powerful, powerful piece of scripture that brings relevance, immediate relevance to these discussions this morning. Some might say, well, what does this have to do with me and my life right now? Let's look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem, about the coming of the Lord, and about the end of the world. He answers all three of those questions in this one chapter, which is like the 24th chapter of Matthew. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 24. Speaking of Jerusalem, he says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Everybody say praise the Lord. The Gentiles their time began in 70 AD at the destruction of Jerusalem. That there was a season of Gentile harvest during the church age up to that time frame, and it was that God was opening up a door that was not exclusively Jewish. Now Gentiles like us can come into the kingdom of God and receive the covenant of God. It wasn't that way before. You had to come and become a part of Israel. But now it's a time called the time of the Gentiles. And he said, all during the time of the Gentiles, Jerusalem is going to be lying in destruction. It's going to be overrun and controlled or trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until, everybody say until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, in 1948, there was a sound of a trumpet that went forth in the earth. And you might not have heard it with your natural ear, but Jews all over the world felt it. And they began to feel motivated by something they didn't understand. And they began to be drawn back. And they got on old tramp steamers, and they walked, and they hitchhiked, and they came from every nation in the world according to a prophecy that had been spoken almost 2,700 years before. Isaiah had said that I'm going to scatter them all over the earth. I'm going to scatter them, and they're going to be hated and hounded all over the earth. And then he said, I'm going to gather them the second time back unto myself. This second gathering is what Jesus is talking about here. When Jerusalem is no longer Gentile, when Jerusalem is Jewish, he says the end of the time of the Gentiles is at hand. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want to tell you today, in 1948, they came back to the land of Israel, and they defeated all the Arab nations. In 1967, they defeated the Arab nations again. And in 1981, they made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Praise the Lord. In 1974, they fought a war against all of the Arab nations, and they defeated them again. And Jerusalem, in your day, is Jewish. And Israel, who has been vagabond in the earth for 2,000 years, now, suddenly, in 1930, we couldn't have talked about this. In 1940, we couldn't have talked about this. But in 2004, Israel has been in the land for a generation. Praise the Lord. He said that Israel is going to be trodden underfoot, Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And now watch what happens. After the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nation, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Do you think you've seen anything yet? Let me tell you something. The weather systems and the climate systems and the environment in this world are about to unleash some things that the world has never seen before. And the only thing the Bible says, you can watch for it. There's going to be waves now. There's always been waves. But friend, there's about to be waves. There's about to be some things come ashore from unknown origins. They're about to break forth. You just watch it. Perplexity, distress, men's hearts failing them for fear. The powers of the heaven are going to be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory? And when these things begin to come to pass, when you start seeing these things, what things? When you begin to see a Jewish Israel, when you begin to see Jerusalem resurrected by the nation of Israel, he said you need to begin to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with my life and the fact I need to go beat the other people to Barnhills before lunchtime? Well, he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they shoot forth, you see, you know, because you see their leaves, you know of your own selves that summer is now nigh. He said, you got a brain in your head, and you know that when you see those first green buds coming forth, you know summer is at hand. He said, you can tell, you can read signs. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, when you begin to see these unusual things, when you begin to see Israel back in the land, you begin to see Jerusalem as Jewish again, then he says, know you that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Let me tell you the message you can go out and talk to your neighbors and your friends and people on the job about. It is totally accurate for you to walk in among them tomorrow and say the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom. What did John the Baptist preach? He preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm going to tell you, the church of 2004 can preach that message. And if they ask you why, you can tell them exactly why. He said, verily or truly, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away. What generation? The generation that sees the regathering of Israel. He said, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now you do what you want to do with that. But I'm looking up. I'm looking up. Well, you know, Sutton, if you keep looking up, you're going to disregard some things that are important down here. I may let some things go lacking down here, and there may be some things that I don't get exactly right down here, but I'm looking up. Because this is a one shot. The sons of the prophets at Bethel knew he was about to be taken away, but they weren't there. The sons of the prophets at Jericho knew he was going to be taken away, but they weren't there. The sons of the prophets at Jordan, they stood off at a distance to watch. They knew it was going to happen, but they weren't there when it happened. All over this country, people are reading left behind books. You better not get left behind, because that book will tell you there's another trip out, but I'm telling you there ain't. Oh, my goodness. I lost about 40% of you just now. My goodness. That's good fiction, but that's all it is fiction. You better be right, you better be ready, and you better be on time. Don't stand at a distance and say, I know it's going to come one day. I know. You better be ready today. You better be down at the riverside. You better be at that place of ground zero when it's time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him he's coming. And I'm ready. Come on, you better be ready. It's time to be ready. Somebody get on your feet. Let's praise him a little bit. Are you ready? It's time to be ready. He's coming. You don't want to miss this. You're going to shed that old body. My God, I'm ready to shed this old body. You're going to leave this world. There's an old song that said, one of these old mornings, and it won't be very long. You're going to come and look for me, but praise God, I'm going to be gone. My God. Come on. It happened to Enoch, but it was really talking about what's going to happen to you. It happened to Elijah, but God was really showing us what's going to happen to you. Jesus ascended, but on the way up, he was saying, now this is what I'm doing. I'm showing you that this is going to happen to you. Let's lift up our hands and let's begin to talk to him right now. Hallelujah. If you're in the house and you're not ready to meet him right now, come on down to this altar right now. If you have a doubt, if you have aught in your heart, if you have a sin you can't conquer, come on, get it down on the altar. Get it under the blood. It's a sure thing he's coming, but I've got to make it as certain that I'm ready, that I'm right. If you're here and you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come on down. God will give you the Holy Ghost today. Holy Ghost is that rapture power. Holy Ghost is that whirlwind power.